Bibles in hand. Let's see Bible attendance. Let's just throw them up there just in case. Empty hand. We'll get an usher there. Father, we want to thank you as we look forward to your word. Lord, open our hearts as you speak to us. A very important message right now. We transition for ourselves in you. We loved today's worship, and we thoroughly enjoyed what you're speaking to each one of us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to just encourage you. Today's message, you'll see on the back of your bulletin, it's entitled Another Year of Resolutions. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Verse 15, just three verses. And we're looking, it's interesting when we talk New Year's resolution. If you've ever considered what people have had resolutions for, you recognize that they go with usually three areas. One being money, the other being health, or possibly family. In other words, my resolution, I'm going to spend more time with family. Make it happen. It always seems to be around those three. But what if it happened to be something pertaining to the directive of the Word of God? And that's today's message. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm wanting to just encourage and establish some guideposts with which we would say, wow, then God will direct me in the path that I feel He has for me. Now, how many know that God calls us when He calls us to new places? Everybody say new places. That it requires us leaving old places. Leaving old places requires us to leave there in order to arrive at the new destination. In Genesis 12, verse 1, remember Abraham, God said, Abraham, you leave your country and your family and go to the new place, new land that I have for you. Man, that's amazing. God says you leave your homeland, you leave your comfort, you leave your certainty, your familiarity, your security. I mean, I could go on. You go ahead and you leave what is known to go to the unknown. Now, that's a walk of faith. And some of you here who are watching have made any changes because you don't want to leave the known. You're frightened of the unknown. And yet God's been wanting to move us to an area that would really bring a tremendous awakening to our lives individually. But it's going to require faith. That's why we're talking this New Year resolution being something that would be very helpful for you, for us individually. We talk about oneness of purpose. What is it that God has for you or for me? So when we look here, we're dealing with the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Ainsley and I will be there at the ruins this March. We're excited about that. Turkey and Istanbul. And so with that, Paul was pastoring that church for 3 years. He's now writing the book to that church in Rome. From Rome, he's in jail. And so as he's writing, he's establishing some things. And the book is developed into two parts. The first part, who Christians are in Christ, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The third is establishing then what and how we walk that out, who we are. Chapters 4, 5, and 6. You could literally say our wealth in Christ, and the last three, our walk in Christ. I could go with words all the time, but it is interesting how we take a look at the importance of that and establish that. So let's look here at verse 15. I'm in Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I heard about a harbor in Italy. It's interesting because there's an element that they said it because of the shallowness of the harbor and the rocks that are close, that the port authorities established 3 points with lights to get and navigate ships going in to the port. And if they maintained and lined up those 3 points, they would have safe passage into the harbor, into port. I want to take these 3 points and say the same for you and me. If you're feeling it's time to move and make some adjustments, if you just consider these things from the scripture, then you're going to have safe passage through those areas. So number one, let's take a look at it. It's important for us, and that's found, walk carefully. Walk carefully. In verse 15 again, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Look at that word, circumspect. Who uses that word? It's a good word. It's two Latin words. Circum, that Latin word, we get our English word circumference or circumnavigate, which means basically circumnavigate around. Check out the navigational coordinates. And then the latter part of that, circumference, or the area where it says spec, circumspectly, means to look, to inspect. So let's take a look at that word. Walk circumspectly. Walk in such a way that you look around the circumference and inspect where you are walking. It's a call to exact living. Got to realize that to really live a Christian life, it's not to be lived haphazardly. So if you are just out there and saying, well, I think just being a Christian is like showing up every now and then, that really will never get anybody into a proactive statement. You don't live a Christian just kind of like going to church casually. That is not Christianity. I mean, you're all in, or it's just like you're doing a religious thing. So walk circumspectly is very important. It's kind of like when Jesus was saying in Matthew 7, verse 14, walk that narrow path. There's a narrow path that we are to go. So check it out. As you're taking steps, look around, because there's a lot of places you can step, but walk circumspectly. You check it out, but you be specific. Now, I remember as a young man, when I was being raised up there in West Covina, San Gabriel Valley, summertime, I never wore shoes. And that at the end of summer, when the fall school semester or year started, I remember my bottom of my feet, I had at least an eighth to a quarter inch callus on the bottom. It was great. But I remember all the time my mom going out there, Paul, watch your step. Watch your step. That's literally what we could say here when Paul and the writing of the Holy Spirit walk circumspectly. Man, if you're moving anyway, watch your step. Watch where you're going. We could almost put it like, for example, on a field trip. I remember another time in the area of San Gabriel. We did an elementary school field trip to a dairy. I don't know if you ever went to a dairy. We did. I mean, it's like Altadena Dairy, free milk and all that stuff. And I remember when we were done with the little milking barn, it's time to get into the bus. I remember to this day, I thought it was so amazing. The teacher said, watch your step. Because there's little manure mines, huh? There's manure mines. Why don't they pave something here? But sure enough, and it's just the way it is for us so many times. Isn't it true the devil, Satan, comes along and he puts out some manure mines? You watch your step. You walk circumspectly. You investigate, because where you walk, there could be a manure mine from Satan himself. That's what he's talking about. That's how it's working. You have to be careful. Watch very, very carefully. Now, what's the qualifier? If you look at verse 15, it says there, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's the qualifier. Not as fools, but as wise. Now, it's interesting because wisdom, we know the Bible talks a lot about wisdom versus foolishness. Like the book of Proverbs, it's just great It's like, man, I read that. It's like, ooh, or, ooh, I know that person. It's kind of how that works. But it's amazing because there is something about wisdom. It's not just acquired knowledge. Because you can be very intellectual and foolish in the application of that knowledge. It happens to people. Man, they're smart, but they really don't know how to really color coordinate their shoes sometime. So, and that's kind of like how Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. They are ever increasing in knowledge, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So people can be very smart, they just can't get there. So the wisdom we're talking about is having an understanding and know how to apply it. Walk circumspectly as you look around, be careful. But do it in a way that you are wise how you're going about doing it, not as fools. Now, that word fool, you always want to have the Bible define the Bible. Because in Psalm 14, verse 1, I know you'll write it down. You'll come back and you say, oh, I'll just remember. No, you won't. Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, when that was written, atheists didn't exist. You know, oh, that's talking about, no, that's not atheist. That is, it's one of those areas of people that they didn't deny the existence of God. That fool that says in his heart, literally saying, I don't want God to control my life. That's a fool. I don't want him to claim anything over me. That's a fool. The fool has said where? Not verbally. Just a pattern of conduct. Said in his heart, God, you're not going to have any right to me here. I like coffee. I know you do too, but it's kind of like going to the little diner and you've had two cups of coffee and the waitress comes up with the pitcher again and you put your hand over the top of the coffee cup saying, no coffee. I believe in coffee. I don't want coffee. I believe in God. No God. No God. The fool has said no God. Not in this circumstance. Not never. So, when the Bible says in verse 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Nothing like inviting God to be a part of things in your life. Amen? Amen. So, the way you live, God is involved. Or, you decide that God is not going to exist in these endeavors. Number two, watch faithfully. Let's take a look at verse 16. That's our first pillar. Verse 16, the second one, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So the first pole we have, walk carefully. Second, watch faithfully. It's interesting here because it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's look that over. Now, the word time is interesting because we all can relate to time. Time is relative, as Einstein says that. We know that it's relative. Time's out there. We are marking Happy New Year. That means the end of one year to a new year now. That's kind of how that works. And a year's kind of established when the Earth rotates around the sun in one year, 365 days, 12 hours, 49 minutes, and 12 seconds. We have a leap year this year. So there's an extra day you can waste it. Isn't that nice? I can't wait. So 366 days this year. But it's important when we talk about redeeming the time, because we all have time. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are granted at least 70 years. Psalm 90, verse 10. Man shall live 70 years, and with strength 80. So if I were to say my last days on earth is at age 70, I did a little bit of calculation, and I've got 3,285 days left. That's a little bit odd. Now, I got a little more cheery because I was checking out an old article from People's Magazine, and they were highlighting a clock that for $90, it would tell you how many days you have left to live. And they went with the man's average life of 75 years. I was feeling pretty good. And the wife or a girl, 80 years. So I did some recalculations. So instead of 3,285 days, I now have 5,110 days to live. That life is good. But we really don't know. We don't know how long we have. It's a challenge. Sometimes we say goodbye to dear people that we love. Had to say goodbye to dear Poy Smith. It's in the presence of God. Just recently said goodbye to a dear older pastor, admired, Pastor Al White. His funeral's this Wednesday. It's amazing. Said goodbye to an extended family member from Elias Malki. I'll be doing their funeral. Lost tragically in a house fire. It's like, how do these things happen? Time is relative. How do these things work? So we just never know. We'd say we got guaranteed 70 days. But it is interesting when the Bible says so clearly, redeem the time. Now in the Greek for time, it really comes in as chronos, is the Greek, meaning really, that's where we get our chronological time. We get our English word calendar, chronos. It's a sequence of time. It's the typical word used in the Bible for time. But chronos is not used here. Redeem the time is the Greek word kairos. Paul, as he's writing, saying, redeem the kairos, which means it's a segment in the chronological time frame. It is an event, literally, right now. Redeem that event that is now upon you. That's what he's saying. It is not a whole bunch of stuff. God will bring a kairos moment, and that's the one you want to read. You never know when that happens. God will show you. That's important for us. Seize, make the most of, take advantage of that moment. You redeem that moment. What would that look like? Well, you would probably consider something that you just know will play out in the long term of eternity. Something comes to your opportunity, and you say, I'm going to do that. That is of God. That's a kairos moment. God is moving in some of us where we would say, I think I need to make some change. Remember, some of us haven't had change. We're afraid to leave. And you have to leave in order to go. So, Paul says, redeem that kairos moment. What you decide on, for example, makes long-term effect. How you have a dietary intake will determine how long you live. Really, we know diet plays a big role. Should I exercise? Be an exercise phenomenon anyway. If you exercise, should I exercise today or not? That plays out in the long term of your health and continuum. So you make decisions today that affect your eternity. That's what we're talking about, redeeming the time. You who are volunteers at Hope Chapel, you who served in one capacity and then moved to another, all of those are kairos moments in the span of the chronological pattern of your life. You say, well, I'm just going to do that. Listen, there'll come a time that you transition from this timeline of yours to a timelessness called eternity. And that's why you want to seize a kairos moment. Paul uses that word. Redeem that moment. I don't know. It'll come again. You don't know if it'll come again. You don't know. Some of us say, well, I wish I went back and made that purchase. I wish I did that back then, and man, now it's gone. That's the way a kairos moment goes. You got to say, Lord, is this you? And if you're not sure, get some wise spiritual counsel. Because it will benefit you going into eternity. So, you have to determine how that redeeming looks like, because the word redeem, literally, it really is kind of like buying back. It's if you found somebody in a third world nation in slave labor, say, well, I'm just going to pay your wage and get you out of that, and I'm going to set you free. That's what redeem. You set that thing free and go in the right path. So for your own life, would it be that all of a sudden you or I, for me, stop being my selfish way as a younger man and start living for others? While we have our chronological time, what's left, let's make it a Kairos moment that will benefit eternity. Eternity, friends. That's really coming. It's really going to happen. It's going to take place. So, I like it where Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, he said, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work." Leslie Flynn did a book. It's about time. I actually titled a message, "It's About Time," some time back, and I did a rope and I segmented it and used every inch basically as a year. And in his book, he says that a 35-year-old man really has 500 days of life to live. And how he comes to that, and I thought, this guy's doing wrong math. He's worse off than my People's Magazine. I don't know what's going on. But he says, when you subtract what a person does, spending time sleeping, spending time eating, hygiene, working, medical visits, odd jobs, chores around the house, effectively a 35-year-old man would have about 500 days left to do whatever they want. That's a shocker. Let's just say that 500 days are those Kairos moments. Redeem them. Consider that. It's a new day for another New Year resolution. It's important for us. The qualifier, and it's worth noting, why does he say redeem the time? Well, verse 16, because the days are evil. That's interesting because we take a look at that, the element of, in areas of evil, there's areas where the Satan just comes. He's called the thief. John 10:10, thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He will steal your Kairos moment. How? Patterns of sin. You involve in sin and petty affairs, waste time with gossip, holding on to grudges. It just wastes time in those areas of sin. Evil days. Redeem the time. Why? The days are evil. Why? How does that work? Spending too much time encapsulated in areas of sin or unforgiveness or bitterness. Think, I deserve this. I just cite some just to throw there, because there are people in the Bible that just messed it up. They just let it go. How about Noah? 2 Peter 2:8. Noah, it says, preached for hundreds of years, and then when destruction came, only 8 people survived. All those people had opportunity. Jump on board. Matthew 25:1, 10 virgins. Jesus says, 5 of them were wise and got ready. 10 of them says, we don't need to. And then it was too late. They missed that opportunity. Judas Iscariot, Matthew 27, verse 5. Judas, 3.5 years with the master teacher. Man. And he still didn't want to do anything with him. Just never know. Good things can be too. It's not always about sin. You can be so blessed, a person cannot handle the abundance. Cannot handle the abundance. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha and Mary? Remember, Martha is just, she is a beautiful example of hospitality, caring for her guest. And she comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my sister Mary's not helping me serve everybody. Tell her to get up and get in the kitchen. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. Wow. That is one thing where it's like, that's an evil time. Missed the Kairos moment. Could have been. Wouldn't it have been great? She says, you know what? Man, God is in my living room. I probably ought to just sit down and listen. Huh? Wow. Those things happen. Those things happen. They'll say, Pastor, I hear you do a lot of praying and reading the Bible. Is that all you do? No. I wish it was. That's my highlight. I do a lot of other things. But man, if I can be with Jesus and share what I've discovered, I feel like my day's feeling pretty good. So it's important. Eternal perspective. Our first pilot stick, remember, walk carefully. Our second one, watch faithfully. And finally, number three, work thoughtfully. In verse 17, as we wrap things up here, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's interesting as we look at that. Are you living this new year just doing everything God wants? I think that would be just, that's a great goal. Lord, if you'll just kind of nudge me, I will do whatever you want. That'd be awesome. And it's not even, I found it's not even that big a deal. It's just, I feel God's leaning. Just that you would be open for the word and the will. And you find it in the word of God. Isn't that nice? Just in case we forget that God actually speaks or maybe has spoken, he's written his perspective in a volume, two volumes actually. So on this occasion, how wonderful. There are verses that literally say this is the will of God. And I think it's going to be outstanding. We're going to experience a great theme this year. You're going to see the Lord build and direct us. And we're going to take these three pylons and say, wow. If we look, say we are going to walk circumspectly. And there's going to be things that are redeemed in such a way. It's like the Lord is really manifesting himself. I want to conclude with verse 18. Felt just to add that on there. It's not on there, but it goes on. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How many know that is a principle? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful that this year, everybody at Hope Chapel and all of our guests get filled with the Spirit and receive their prayer language? I like that. It's interesting, in verse 18 it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That word dissipation means too much. Now let me just highlight this, and I wasn't going to add this, but since I'm here, it's interesting to note that I call alcohol the counterfeit for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does exactly what alcohol does. Have you ever had a buzz? Don't raise your hand. Don't do it. You know, about halfway through that six-pack, you start to feel a little giddy, a little confident. Might ask her to marry you, you know what I mean? It's just all those things. You feel at peace. No more anxiety over work. You don't care about the bills. But if you say no more of the counterfeit exposure, I'm going with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's what I love about encouraging people, be filled with the Spirit. Don't just hear about it. Don't just talk about it. Those same beautiful expressions of boldness, peace, an ability to move in the mind and direction of the Lord, it's amazing. And that's for you today, too. Well, we do need to fit in communion. Can we do that? I want to just pray while I invite those who are helping serve communion up. Come on up if you're helping serve communion. Father, thank you. As we prepare our hearts for communion, thank you for the word today. And thank you for everyone who's here, especially those who are watching via live stream. May they engage what you have for them, and we hear about it, and champion them on in their pursuit of you, Almighty God. And it's all possible. Everything's possible because of the great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we enjoy this communion time. Amen. Friends, if you are visiting here, I welcome you to have communion with us. If you're watching via live stream, you know if you've been a participator, just get a hold of that bread and that juice and wait till we come back. Let's all have communion together. We're going to pass you the cups now, and then once we are all done, we'll have communion together. While the trays are being passed, I would just encourage you, just kind of recall what the Spirit of the Lord might be saying to you. This is your year between you and God. See what the Lord has. Make your chair an altar seat. A wonderful day it's been here, and so grateful for your participation by worship. You who spoke prophetic words, that's we just trust the Holy Spirit just kind of speaks things sometimes in a prophetic prayer. The word came to us. You get to make that decision how that applies to you. You're adults, but it culminates our start off of our New Year's with communion together. I'm really excited about that. So if you are new here, you'll see there's a wafer right at the top. So just push one side, lift that host right off the top, please. We invite everyone to have this with us. And what you're signaling is, as Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're showing yourself the Lord's death, my death, till I come. Isn't that nice? We need to be reminded, since we are imperfect people in still a broken world, we need a Savior, and we're acceptable in His eyes through Jesus. So just in case you feel, as I do quite often, I gummed up the works this last month, and Lord, thank you for a Savior. Would you just, even in your heart as you have communion, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Both Savior, Lord means whatever He says goes. So let's have our host first, symbolizing His body so that we can just say, Lord, thank you for your bruised and battered body so that we can be healed physically and emotionally. Amen. Go ahead and snap that. Let's participate. Symbolizing, as He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Because of the death of somebody, that testament, that living trust goes into action. That's the new covenant, new testament. Great promises in there for you, for me. So as we lift that cup up, because of what He has done, removing all sin, once again, can start this year fresh, squeaky clean. So Lord, as we hold that portion, thank you for loving us so much, for the richness of your forgiveness and the mercy of your grace to those who believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you go ahead and let's have that cup together? Would you please stand to your feet and let's just thank the Lord together. Let's just do that quietly. Lord, we thank you and use this occasion as a posture of praise and giving of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've had a wonderful morning together, and if you do have your cups, you can pass those cups to the side aisle. We want to get you on your way as quickly as we can. Next Sunday, we'll get you out even earlier so we can all go to that lunch spot. How many know what that means? Now, how many know what Dutch treat means? Three of you. Well, I am Dutch, and that doesn't mean I'm treating, but Dutch treat means it's everyone for themselves, okay? Pay your own way. Not that we're squeaky. But I'm going to invite our altar prayer team to come forward now, and as I dismiss in prayer, if you're needing to have somebody pray with you because you know God spoke to you about something, I would encourage you, don't exit quickly. Go to that person and just give your first name and say, would you agree with me? I am establishing something in my life, and I want prayer for that. Let's watch your life become an extension of a miracle power of God. Well, thank you for coming. Let me pray that New Year's blessing over you. Father, we just love you and we thank you for your goodness. And may you continue to richly provide everything for each one in this room and those who are watching via live stream. And Lord, we wouldn't know it unless you reveal it to us. We're all so wonderfully blessed, but sometimes we forget how wonderfully blessed we are. Open our eyes, dear Father. Thank you for Jesus. We'll start there. May everyone's year be the best they've ever had with 2020 Vision. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.